The exhibition is titled Drawing from Life, suggesting, of course, that the images we see will be what artists refer to as life drawings, renderings of the human figure, or the nude. In this case, there's much more at stake, and to draw us to visit the show, the Wyoming Valley Art League has prepared a promotional post or rack card with all the details: what, where, when, and who. The who being the artists, Helen Lavelle and Robert Bergstrasser.
Okay, Erica, I want you to do something. I want you to turn that little brochure upside down and now look at the figures. Do you see the waterfalls? Do you see the splashes of color that are coming out? Do you see the black that's coming out?
Absolutely.
Now turn around to the backside and turn it upside down.
Okay.
And you see movement on Helen's. But mine, you see splotches with form coming to it.
The sculptor.
Yeah,
the
I see
beautiful.
The stone that's in mine.
Right.
And yours, I see that flow that's coming, that puddling water at the top of the falls, and then that crash that happens right at the edge of the rock.
If we didn't know Robert Bergstrasser, or Bergie, was referring to drawings of the human figure just now, we might think he was describing different landscapes with flowing water and rocks. But he's speaking metaphorically as he urges us to see the movement, the dynamism in these images. Even in the one he talks about in terms of its solidity or rock-likeness, for ultimately, that's alive too. And to his delight, the forms work as well upside down, abstractly, as they do when we contemplate them as human bodies. Clearly, each of these artists is distinct, but both are rooted in a vision of the world as one in flux. They experience a reality that flows, and therefore to be captured on canvas as soundings in the nautical sense. As they draw, they are plumbing the depths of their subject to reveal what's below the surface. Philosopher Henri Bergson talked about the artist as one who reveals the deep current in and through his or her work. The artist manages to bring samples from within the flux to the surface without destroying their essential fluidity. And further, that when we engage with a work of art, we are like passers-by who join in a dance, impelled to set in motion in the depths of our being some secret chord which was only waiting to thrill. That from Understanding James, edited by David H. Evans. It's a nice way of putting the matter for these two artists who are so impacted by theater and dance themselves. When we hear that phrase, we as viewers are like passers-by who join in a dance. They also share a profound gratitude for those people in our lives who draw us out and teach us to see for ourselves, and for those who support and encourage us when we have the courage to do just that, to be drawn out in life and learn to see from ourselves. Helen Lavelle and Robert Bergstrasser of Northeastern Pennsylvania are featured in the exhibition Drawing from Life at the Circle Center for the Arts of the Wyoming Valley Art League in Wilkes-Barre, with an opening reception Friday, September 21st at 5, an artist's talk on Wednesday, October 3rd, and a third Friday event on October 19th. This is a show at 130 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre through November 2nd. We had a visit from Helen Lavelle and Robert Bergstrasser to talk about drawing from life, art in their lives and in our lives. And we began with those early days and those early influences.
It's interesting, Erica, because I used to look in the Parade magazine and there was that little drawing test, the boxer. I was a little girl and drew that boxer and kept drawing that boxer and knew then that I really wanted to be an artist.
How did you then make that a reality?
My childhood was interesting because I'm the oldest of 10 kids, so we were always engaged in art projects in our house, and I would be working with my brothers and sisters on different kinds of things, both in the visual arts and also in the theater, so I think that that's an interesting caveat. The other thing that happened for me is that I had a wonderful high school art teacher who has since passed away. She was Beverly Sabatini Glennon, and she was a young graduate of Wilkes University. And she was my high school art teacher, and she recognized the talent in me. So much so that we didn't have budgets for, the school did not have budgets for art programs. She would bring her own materials to school for me to let me have an independent study in art. And that made all the difference in the world. Teachers, great teachers.
Did you have a pivotal?
Oh, yeah. I had the best teacher ever. It was Graydon Mayer at Kingston High School. And in all the years that I had Graydon, I never saw him actually draw. I never saw him paint. He would paint with his hands in the air. He would air draw and say, look at the expression in this. And he taught us all how to look. So I could be sitting next to six other students who are going to make professional careers in the arts. And each of us went in our own direction because we were taught not to follow him. We saw his work, but he never gave us a clue on how he did it, except in the air. So it was up to our imagination to translate that. And he himself was a fantastic artist. And he was collected around the world. He was well known. And I actually took a course in college. Because I went to school for phys ed or art, and I figured I could do phys ed. I was an athlete, but the arts is what's kept up.
I believe really strongly, Erica, that a teacher's role is to nurture that creative spirit out of a child, out of a teenager, out of an adult. I continue to work with artists that are world-renowned because I know there's always something for me to learn. But the teachers who, you know, grab my heart the most deeply are those who nurture that out of me. And they realize that it's not about executing a drawing. It has nothing to do with that at all. For me, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. It's nurturing my creative spirit out of me, and it is inevitable that it is going to show up.
I mean, that has to do with our humanity, who we are, and how we speak to each other.
Absolutely, with the greatest amount of respect for where the other person is.
No matter what their discipline, whether it's dance or music.
Theater.
It doesn't matter.
Whether it's cooking a meal, gardening, it doesn't matter. The creative spirit lives in every single person on the planet. I mean, my own opinion is that until we all as a universe understand that we have a responsibility to allow that creative spirit out, there will be no peace. There will be no love. I mean, we are here for that. And I'm really proud to be an artist and to be able to share that, everything that's in my soul. And when I look at Berge's work, he's talking about how different we are. We look at each other in a completely different way because I think that we're exactly alike. We're all one. And his work feels like my work. My work feels like his work. And Alison Maslow knew enough to put both of us together.
What is intriguing to me is that you both have theater backgrounds as well as the visual arts.
I was working as the athletic trainer at King's College and having lunch and breakfast and whatever with Jerry Godwin. And he said, I need you to play this. And it was the Merry Wives of Windsor. The host of the Garter there, it was sort of like one of the characters that the people in the Groundlings used to throw tomatoes at. So he needed me for that. I said, okay, I can do it. And that was the beginning with Jerry Godwin. I was a dancer in My Fair Lady and South Pacific in high school. They would never let me speak. I was a hula dancer in the South Pacific and a can-can dancer. It was sort of like the athlete changing uniforms and moving to a creative expression. And I think it was allowed because of the teachers that we had. We had teachers that encouraged people to sing. encouraged them to try something new, and really broke those barriers of elitism and peer pressure, and they broke that.
And there is no other place that is better to become part of than in the theater. That's for sure. My background is really interesting, too, because, again, it goes back to high school, you know, auditioning for, it was important. I was either doing set design or auditioning for a play right from the beginning. And quite frankly, I was educated at Marywood University in communications, but then I went to Moore College of Art in Philadelphia. So I have a communications background and an art background, and that's kind of where I ended up. But I'll tell you what, it was the theater that carried me through the most painful circumstances in my personal life. When life hits you right in the face, and it was many years ago I'm talking about, you know, where I was dealing with multiple challenges, Erica, I auditioned for a show at Diva Productions in Scranton that I hadn't been on a stage in 30 years. And I got involved, and it was the best, honest to God, it's healing. You can heal grief through the arts. And I know that on a personal level and on the deepest level.
When I saw you in Line in Winter, I was thinking like, oh my God, how is she going to get through this?
I didn't know how I was going to get through it, Berg.
Oh, okay.
The line load. Oh my God. Eleanor, Queen Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Yes.
The theater is just so important to me. And we did a great, show, but the line load, it really did nearly kill me.
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah.
But I loved every second of it. And actually, all of Eleanor ends up in the paintings. That's the irony. I mean, when you're connecting all over the place, all of Eleanor is in the paintings. She's in the paintings.
There's apprehension, there's tragedy, there's confidence, and then there's, oh my God, what's going on? And then there's that striving to keep going on and, oh, I found something new.
Right.
When you draw, when you paint, when one does these things, it's full body, it's gesture, it's all of that. So they're related.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I was working on my artist statement for our show on Friday, and I just have to say that it was interesting because it was all about tapping into the soul. It's about capturing it. No matter what discipline, no matter what area of the arts anyone is working in, it's tapping into that soul section of us that is just, that's really what it's about.
So you met at the Drawing Social with Ted Michalowski. Then you have come to draw together on occasion?
We've become fast friends. It was really interesting because I'm attracted to people in my life who I know are 100% in, all in, not backed off in any way. And it was very obvious to me that Bergie was all in. And the other thing that attracts me, Erica, to an artist like Bergie, and also to the teachers that I work with now, world-renowned artists, is that they're generous in what it is that they know. I watch Bergie in our drawing sessions, and quite frankly, we meet a couple times a month to draw together, a whole group of us. But I watch Bergie with absolute unabashed generosity, share everything he's got with every other struggling artist. And that's a teacher. That's a teacher. We need to help each other.
Yeah, I don't think you can close it off. Somebody said that there is no such thing as talent. The only thing that you have is to share your giftedness.
Hmm.
When I start to draw, I look at the figure and I pick out the parts like the hip, the shoulder, and I think of the wave. I'm already transported to the marginal way in Ogunquit, Maine. I'm sitting on the rocks. I found myself one day actually sitting on the rocks for a complete tide change. It was 6 hours, and I drew the whole time. And all the people that were walking by in the background, you know, looking at this beautiful, and the waves coming in crashing. And I'm seeing not only the female form, I'm seeing all of humanity, whether it's landscape, the water, the fluid form, and not trying to copy it, putting the camera down and sketching and drawing. And that I got into drawing out there basically because of my sculpture. I'm a sculptor. And I was looking for all of these things to transform into the edge, the shadow that was happening in these solid pieces of stone. And I've learned to love it. But I start with a little line and then start to look at the shadows, squint my eyes, you know, the things that you do. And Helen starts with an atmosphere. She doesn't lay down a line to begin with. She lays down this atmosphere, this feeling. And I'm in awe of Helen. And then at the end of her drawing, after she gets all of this atmosphere, these lights and darks that are happening, she applies a couple strokes, a couple spatters, a couple throws the paint here, and all of a sudden the form comes to life. And so I'm sort of like enamored with Helen's work.
Is that right? Does it describe it well?
Well, I've never heard it described that way, but yeah, it's interesting how Berge sees my process. It's really interesting to listen to another artist that I respect so much. I've never heard you say that before, Berge, about the process, because he says he starts with a few squiggly little lines, and you know, the way you describe it, and I don't see his process the way he sees it. It's really fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me. But here's the kicker. Erica, we learn from each other all the time. All the time. And from every other artist that we work with. That group energy, I think, is just so powerful. It's just so powerful. And I think that when Berge was describing the sensations that he was having at the ocean, those kinds of things happen for me. When my process is that I look so deeply into the subject matter, and it doesn't matter, as Berge said, whether it's the human figure, whether it's a landscape, it doesn't matter. What I am looking for is not the obvious. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that's the bottom line for me. I am looking for something that is not obvious. I look for the spirit, and I treasure that spirit. I seek the soul in whatever it is. It doesn't matter what the subject is. And then as a direct result, I'm happiest when I realize that I'm co-creating this, because my personal feeling is source is right there with me, and my happiest is always when I realize that I'm a co-creator here. I'm not even doing the painting. I mean, an artist can get to that point where you realize, oh my God, I am not even doing this painting. Something else much greater than I am is operating right now.
Helen's life is that way. She looks to something within her, with outside of her, that inspires her, and it works its way through. When you see her draw, now, Helen is this beautiful, beautiful woman who sits upright, and when she's drawing, she's down on the floor, she's got chalk in her eyes, in her nose, in her hair, she's got paint all, you know, like, she'll grab her paintbrush in one hand and look at what's going on, and she's on her elbows on the floor, supporting herself, looking at and the paint comes off on her face, and then the next thing you know, she's ripping it off her face and smearing it on. If you come to our show and you expect this beautiful, exact representation of this photographic image, you're going to be really disappointed. But if you come to see expression, feeling, and emotion, I hope you'll come away satisfied.
Take a look at the card that invites us to the show, and there is an image of yours, Helen, and an image of yours, Berge. Do these two images manifest what you've each been talking about, would you say?
I don't think there's any doubt. And I think, Erica, we have to give credit to Allison Maslow, because it was Allison who had an opportunity to see me, facilitate a drawing group for you, Berge, and Allison at Circle Center for the Arts one time. And then I believe Allison was in a group and saw me actually working, and she saw the work, and she kind of put Berge and I together and knew that it would be a show for everyone. Because we really are, and I love what you said, Berge, because we really are celebrating drawing from life. And the double entendre is real. we are drawing from life, and that's what ends up on our canvases and our papers. We are drawing from our own personal experiences in life. We are drawing from the life force that is in everything that is put in front of us. We are drawing from the life force of the creative spirit, not only in he and I, but in every single person who has the opportunity to view it, because there's going to be an emotional response, a reaction. I know there's going to be a reaction, serious reaction to all of his work for sure. And it's interesting because I get that from Berg too. We support each other. We support each other.
And I see our work as totally not different, but genuine, unique and genuine. You know, we can't all be original. I mean, people have sat in front of nude models going back to the Renaissance.
And before.
Yeah, Greek. But the drawing of picking up a piece of charcoal and drawing the person that you're next to, you know, and representative, the caves at Lascaux, you know, that's life drawing. And they were capturing a feeling because of motion. Many of those animals that they were drawing were their interpretation of a movement, of a herd. They captured horses and bison moving. I digress.
No, but I don't think that was really a digression, because that's what I love about Berge's work, is that he focuses, well, let me put it this way, he gets a big bang out of movement. And I watch him. I love to watch him when one of our models will shift. We had a wonderful model come up to Scranton that we worked from a few weeks ago, and she had this beautiful white skirt on, and she flipped around and lifted one edge of her skirt, and I thought he was going to have a heart attack right then and there.
I grunt and I go, oh.
Yeah, it's just we're so instantaneous. We live in the moment, Erica, in our art. We live in the moment. It's so easy to be right there. I feel so blessed because I know that we both have a gift that needs to be shared. And it's a lot more than about what people will see on the canvases. It really is. It's about what we were talking about before. We are one in moving, shifting, helping everyone move forward and into the light. I mean, I feel like every artist has that responsibility, whether we know it or not. And there's some points in your life when things happen where you figure that out. And sometimes they don't happen in a pretty way. They've happened for each of us.
We drew at the Society of the Illustrators in New York City, and it was hosted by Bill Donovan. He's the chief illustrator for Christian Dior, and he is into this immediacy, capturing the moment. And so what I try and do is I actually sometimes make that sound of the camera click in my mind. Okay, I caught that. Now, imprint it on my brain, and now work it out. And I have a short attention span, you know, so I go fast, and I try and get it down. We fit right in. When we first went there, there was a young lady who, they have music going on, they have people singing, they have a bar in the background with people talking, and it's not like one of those quiet things, like, we're going to have this. And you get outrageous fashion models there, and they come up and they say, well, you know, you have 4 minutes to get this done. And you think, like, well, wait a second, I usually sit for the first 4 minutes. Well, we got rid of that idea. We start and we get it done. And this young lady who was taught to take her time, and she was frustrated. About a year later, I saw her on Times Square in New York City, and she was standing with her inks and her little paper and capturing the feeling of Times Square, people walking by, everything was happening, and all of a sudden her static, dry attitude left, and she had emotion, she had feeling, and it was original. It was hers.
You know what? I love one thing, Erica, that Berge just brought up is what anyone could get out of drawing the figure. And that's what happened to that woman that night. When we're drawing the figure together, or when I'm working by myself, I like the human form as subject to move, and to move quickly. Because part of my responsibility as an artist is to be able to capture the soul, the spirit, the actual movement that I see, the genuine, and Bergie used the word, and I was thinking, she became, our work is authentic. I think that's the strength of our work. It is. It's, we're unapologetically authentic and know that we're putting ourselves out there, and there's nothing that feels greater than that. But when you're drawing the figure, I mean, a lot of times people are looking for something pretty. And oftentimes in life, it's not pretty. But if it's authentic, it's beautiful. It's beautiful if it's authentic. And I think that that's what people are going to be able to get to see when they come to drawing from life. That's what they're going to get to see. And I think that's what Alison Maslow saw in both Bergie and I.
Mm-hmm.
If people heard your call, Helen, to think about what it would mean to draw, and people are inspired, are there regular sessions in the region where people can come and take up a pencil or whatever it is?
On the third Tuesday of every month.
That at AFA Gallery in Scranton. At 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., everyone is welcome. It's a nominal cost, but it is such a great introduction for that kind of energy to get together. It's so important to do life drawing.
Helen Lavelle, artist and president and chief creative strategist of Lavelle Strategy Group of Scranton, and Robert Bergstrasser, award-winning sculptor and watercolorist from northeastern Pennsylvania, speaking about their work in anticipation of the exhibition Drawing from Life, curated by Alison Maslow, opening at the Wyoming Valley Art League in Wilkes-Barre this Friday, September 21st, running through November 2nd. There will be an artist talk Wednesday, October 3rd at 6, and it's all at the Circle Center for the Arts in the Maffei Gallery, 130 South Franklin Street in Wilkes-Barre, and that's in the middle of the block between South Main Street and South Franklin in the old building that is exquisite. It's a round building and the former home of the Luzerne County Medical Society. And for more information online, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org. Drawing from Life, works of Helen Lavelle and Robert Bergstrasser at the Wyoming Valley Art League, opening on Friday, September 21st, with a reception from 5 to 8 p.m. There will be an artist talk Wednesday, October 3rd at 6, and a third Friday reception on October 19th at 5. For more information, you can find them online, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org, WyomingValleyArtLeague.org.